In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this day of Pentecost, we remember how Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit in his word for a threefold purpose. As we examine today, Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit in his word to give us faith, so that we may hear him, receive him, call upon his name, and be saved, to give us faith. Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit through his word to preserve our faith as we speak that word and share that spirit with one another. And Jesus pours out his Spirit through his word to spread faith to others as we now speak this word and spirit to our neighbors. Threefold purpose. Jesus was glorified on the cross. And when Jesus was glorified on the cross, he spoke, "It is finished." In his final rattling breath, that cry of triumph, he gave out his spirit in his death. As his side was pierced, what came out but that blood he shed for the forgiveness of our sins and that living water of the Spirit? That Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, has now entered into you. Through the word of Jesus, that Spirit is now breathed into you to bring your dead soul to life. The living waters of the Spirit have washed over you and been channeled into you through God's word and sacraments, just like the two banks of a river channeling that Spirit into you to bring you to life. Jesus calls that Spirit living water. Now, that means not just that it's moving water, but water that is connected to its source. Living water is water that is connected to its source. And so the source of these living waters of the Holy Spirit is Jesus himself. Now, just as the source of a river might be flowing down from the mountains, come down with the rain that comes down from heaven, or bubbling up from underground to feed a spring, Jesus is both of those. He is the one come down from heaven, come down from even the Mount of Transfiguration, Mount Sinai, to be among us and give us life. He is the one who sprung up from underground on Easter morning in resurrection to give us life, to give us his Spirit. He is the source of the Spirit. And that Jesus has decided to take up residence in your hearts. Dark as they are, wretched as they are, that is the place where he has decided to be. And that is where now Jesus resides in you who believe in him. He resides by faith. And since Jesus is the source of those living waters, and Jesus now resides in your heart, now out of your heart flow those rivers of living water, constantly washing you clean, constantly washing away your filth, constantly flowing out of you in God's love, now shared with others. Now, if God in the flesh, if Jesus is in you, if the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is in you, flowing from Jesus, then that makes you what? It makes you a temple. A temple. As Peter put it in his first letter, "You come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. You yourselves are that new temple." We saw that evident on Pentecost Day when it says that great wind filled the house where they were gathered, just like that cloud filled the temple that Solomon built on its day of dedication. Pentecost is the dedication of God's new temple, his body, his church, you, in whom he now resides. On that dedication day, we also saw flames as the Holy Spirit came, and it was as a divided fire that came to rest upon them. Because in the temple grounds was not only the holy place and the holy of holies, but outside was the altar upon which were offered sacrifices that connected one to the Lord. That fire of sacrifice was lit upon you, so that Paul would now describe you as living sacrifices. He says in Romans chapter 12, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Your whole life now becomes an offering well-pleasing to Him, even as you give that life now to others in love. That Spirit that flows from you as living waters, washing you clean, also burns within you, purifying you from all that uncleanness within you, and bringing forth more and more that pure gold that is refined by fire. Now, that fire within you, that Spirit that has been given to you, now spreads. It spreads within the church, generation to generation, as you pass on that Word of God, and through that Word, the Spirit of God. You all together are that temple of God on earth. And the fact that the temple of God is made out of people like us just shows us that the church itself is a miracle of the Holy Spirit and a gift of the Holy Spirit. In this church, you now call upon the name of the Lord and you are saved. Jesus pours out His Spirit in His Word to give you faith to do so, so that you may be saved. Now within this church, Jesus continues to pour out His Holy Spirit through His Word to preserve that faith that He has created in you, that faith that receives Him, holds on to Him, and so receives the benefit of His forgiveness in His life. And He pours out that Spirit through His Word as you speak that Word to one another in love. Consider how Peter, on Pentecost Day, preached to people who were already devout. They were already believers in the Lord of Israel, and what did he preach to them? Repentance of sin and forgiveness of that sin in Jesus' name. That is what we all need to hear so that we would endure in the faith to the resurrection, despite the snares that the devil lays for us, despite the weakness of our flesh, despite the grave that lies in front of us. We all need to hear repentance and forgiveness of sins preached in Jesus' name. And that is what every single Christian is given by the Spirit to speak. Now, if you read a little bit earlier in the book of Acts, you'll discover when it talks about all of them gathered together, that's not just the 12 apostles at the time. That is all those who were still believing in Jesus after his resurrection from the dead, including the women who believed in him and Mary, the mother of Jesus, in all about 120, right? 12 times 10, the number of God's people. So all of these were gathered together and all of these received that Holy Spirit. That means all of them were given that Spirit and the Word through which he comes to speak to each other. The 120. We see another example of this in our Old Testament reading from the book of Numbers. That the people there at the time, they were ensnared by a craving. God had delivered them from Egypt. He delivered them from slavery. He was miraculously feeding them in the wilderness. They were on their way to the land that he had promised them, the land with flowing with milk and honey that they had longed for and where they belonged. But they didn't want to go anymore. They were ensnared by a craving for meat. And so their hearts rejected God's promise of a new land. Their hearts rejected God's provision of manna. Their hearts rejected God himself. And they were ready to return to slavery. Moses realized that he could not bear the burden of the sin of their ensnared hearts himself. He actually asked God, if this is how it's going to be, just kill me now, so I may not see my wretchedness. It's in the Bible. God's answer was to raise up others to bear the burden with him. So those 70 men here, these 70 elders of which we hear about, were raised up to receive the Spirit to help bear the burden of the people, as we hear in the book of Numbers, so that that burden was not on Moses alone. Now, what do you think they did after receiving the Spirit? How do you think they helped bear up the burden of the people? Well, those who received the Spirit were to call people to repentance and faith. Call people to repentance and faith, not just in the tabernacle, in the divine service, but out in the camp too. Out in people's homes where they live, out in the wild, so to speak. Remember, we are not only Christians, we are not only God's temple here in this place when we're gathered together, but wherever we go. You are a mobile temple, a mobile tabernacle, carrying that Holy Spirit into everything that you do. So, this is why the Spirit's power is at work among us, and this is how the Spirit's power is at work among us, I should say. As Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit, Holy Spirit, of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself too, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." This is not just the pastor's job, or even pastor and elders, just like it was not just Moses' job. If it was, then every pastor and every board of elders would be crushed under the weight of burdened hearts. But Jesus has given all of you his Spirit. And through that Spirit, we all bear each other up together so that we would make it to the goal, so that we would pass the life of the church forward, so that we would endure in the faith until the day we die and then have rest and peace forever. So I exhort you in the Holy Spirit, talk to each other. Open your lives to each other. Share your lives with each other, your burdens, your hearts. Pray with each other. Pray for each other. Encourage each other in the faith. And when necessary, rebuke each other. Rebuke sin and exhort to renewed faithfulness. And be ready yourself to be exhorted and rebuked in the same way, so that all of us would endure in the faith together. This is given to all of us and to each of us to do. This is the work of the Spirit among us. Now remember that the power of the Spirit is chiefly manifested not in flashy stuff, not in speaking in foreign languages or healing bodies, but rather in miraculous love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things seem very plain, but they're miraculous because you, who were once a dead branch, are now alive and producing fruit of the Spirit. They're miraculous too because here these things are the fruit of true love now shared between two sinners. Impossible task for us all. This kind of work and love shared between each other, it is humble, it is boring, it is painful, and it is powerful. Powerful. This is the work of the Spirit through you, among you. And that work of the Spirit through you and among you is more powerful and more effective for the continued life and hope and health of our congregation than any amount of healthy finances or any charismatic pastor or any such flashy thing. The humble love that you share with one another in the Spirit, your prayer with each other, your honest words to each other. Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit through his word to preserve that faith in you through the word he speaks to your brothers and sisters gathered here in this house, his temple. Now united in confession. Now caring for one another in the love of the Spirit, Jesus also pours out his Spirit through his word to spread the faith that you now hold, to spread that faith to others, so that they would hear that word of Jesus, and through that word, the Spirit would do his work. We hear about all these different people gathered together in Jerusalem at Pentecost, but don't you know that after Pentecost, after they had received that word and that Spirit, they would go back out again. They would spread out into their homes and communities. They would spread with that word and the uncontrollable wildfire of the Holy Spirit himself. You go, do likewise. Carry this word, knowing that you carry the power of the Holy Spirit to raise dead hearts within the words that you speak of Jesus. Now the Spirit doesn't give what they were accused of, right? These guys are drunk. They're filled with new wine. He doesn't fill you with liquid courage, liquid happiness, but a true boldness and a true joy. It's different because where wine gives you a temporary feeling that, oh, everything's okay, the Holy Spirit gives you the confidence and conviction of the truth that in Jesus everything is going to be okay. Everything is good and going to be better. And with that confidence, you have boldness to speak to others, no matter how they may respond, no matter how they may mock, because you know what God has given you is better yet than anything this world could offer. You know that what you're giving to them is life itself from the dead. And you know that that joy within you only grows when it's shared. Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit through his word, through you, so that you may speak to them and bring them back here, so that together we may endure in the faith to the resurrection. Because that day is coming. And on that last day, this Holy Spirit will raise you and all of the dead and give eternal life to you and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.